The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We have been talking about the Spirit-led life, the guidelines to the Spirit-led life. We talked about listening to the voice of this of God in the 21st century. We talked about how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, all these things is to build you up. Is that not true? It's to build you up. Maturity is not an end product in itself. Am I making sense? You can't begin building your muscles for nothing. Can you be building up your muscles for nothing? It must have a purpose for you doing it. And so we started a series on Thursday, Experience Beyond the Extraordinary. We have looked at the way to how to get to the top. We have looked at preparing for extraordinary miracles. And today we are looking at the foundation of the extraordinary life. Because whatsoever we have taught you for this past 3 weeks, we want you to go and put it into practice. And you're going to follow me. Now, I want to ask a question today. What do you think will please God in your life? What do you think will please God? Loving Him and loving people. What do you think pleases God? What do you think pleases Him?
If I do what He says.
If you do what He says. Yes? Can I get another person? What do you think pleases God?
Fulfilling God's purpose in my life.
Fulfilling God's purpose in my life. What do you think pleases God? I'm sure it's a seminar, Abby.
If I do the purpose which He created me for.
If you do the purpose for which He created you for.
Commitment to His work.
Commitment to His work.
Worshipping Him in all ways.
Worshipping Him. Different diverse answers.
Having faith in Him.
Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Are you there? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What pleases God? What pleases God? What pleases God? What pleases God? It is faith that pleases God. And He said it here. Somebody was asking a question. What is faith? They were trying to define faith. And somebody here said, believing God. What is faith? Many people think that coming to church, giving your offering, giving your tithe, going through religious practices, that's how you please God. No. Do you know you can give without faith and your giving will not please God? You can worship God without, you can sing to Him without faith and it will not please Him. This is the foundation of the extraordinary life. There must be a foundation. And as we go on, you will see how the Holy Spirit comes in. You will see how the Word of God comes in. Everything we are trying to do for the past 3 weeks, we have been trying to build up your spirit man. We have been trying to give you, to make you be grounded. Not for the purpose of being grounded, because it's not an end. Maturity is not an end in itself. Maturity is for a purpose. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1 verse 20, it said, build your lives on the foundation of your most holy faith. Build on it. There is a foundation. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And if the foundation is destroyed, forget about the expressing beyond the extraordinary this year. Because there's no amount of how you load the blocks or you build a building and the building is up. If the foundation is weak, one wind can bring it down. To build a skyscraper, you can be digging and digging for more than a year and nothing is coming out and people think there's nothing happening. To build a bungalow is very easy to build. In 3 months, the bungalow is set. And you can start collecting rent. But when you are building a 10-story building, in 3 months, you have not gone halfway with the foundation. You are still digging and pouring the concrete. But the truth of the matter is that maybe it will take you 10 years or it will take you 5 years to build that 10-story building. But one rent from that story building can far outweigh the rent for the bungalow even for 10 years. And that's why the Bible says build on your most holy faith. It's the foundation that matters. That is what will guide you even in these 11 months that we are going to after January. It's what will guide you that you know that of a sure that the Lord is with me. It's what will guide you throughout this year. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you must understand that there are multifaceted side of faith. There are different types of faith, and we're going to be looking at it. What are we going to... How do I build up my faith? And listen, we have just been talking about it every... And I'm just... In this week, we are trying to wrap it up. So that what we are trying to do this week is to launch you out. To make you not to hear the word alone, but to begin to do it. You know, yesterday I was talking about in the first service, was trying to say that in the Western culture, understanding is when you understand with your mind. In the Eastern culture, which is where the Bible was written, understanding is an experience. Am I making sense? You cannot think it. He said, Master, we have toiled all night. In other words, Master, this is not the right time to do it. I know. In my own mind, in what I know about fishing, you don't catch fish during the day. But in understanding, in the Eastern culture, even from the Bible, understanding is not when you understand with your mind. Understanding is communicated first to your spirit. God speaks to your spirit, and your spirit now begins to tutor your mind. And it is when you actually do it and say, yes, now I know. For example, I give you, the Bible says I should love my wife. Is that not true? Huh? The Bible also says my wife should submit to me. In other words, how can I love a woman? I cannot understand it with my mind. That does not submit to me. That doesn't even cook for me. That doesn't greet me in the morning. But at the end of the day, the word, he said, at the word. Now, at the word, I will do it. The moment I begin to do it, what will happen is that the person that was not submitting before, because the word of God has said, as I begin to do it, experiencing, understanding now comes. So in the next 10 years, and I jam an obstacle, what I do is to experience understanding in scripture. You can't get it with your mind. Understanding is an experience. It is not easy for me to give my tithe when there are bills to pay. When I see the bill, the expenses is 50,000, 55,000, and my salary is 50,000. I'm even looking for 5,000 to add to it. Now you are telling me to remove 5,000, so I'll be looking for 10,000. It doesn't make sense. Praise the Lord. So let's begin to know. The Bible says it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please Him. So we're going to look at six aspects of how we are going to do this thing. Of how we are going to build our faith. Of how we are going to live the life of faith. We're going to look at how we're going to lay the foundation or to build the foundation of an extraordinary life. That six aspects of faith we are going to be looking at. The six aspects of faith. What is faith? It's what I use to please God. Faith is believing God. The Bible says now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If I call you and I say, okay, come, take this car. Take this car key. I just bought you a car. Now she's still smiling. She has not even seen the car. Or if I call you now and I say, take this check, 50,000. I can see some faces. Do you know? Bernard Shaw said, we have not lost faith at all. We have just transferred it to something else. Some of you have transferred your faith to your career. Some of you to your parents. Some of you to your medical profession. Some of you... some of you to your job. Some of you to your clothing. Even some of you to your figure eight. Some of you to... You say, if I toast gay, no, yeah, you must agree. I will... To the gifts and talents that you have. We have not lost faith. We just transferred it to another place. Now, how do I repair this foundation, or how do I lay this foundation for an extraordinary life? It's for me to start developing faith. It's for me to start trusting God. For me to start believing Him. And listen, it's not going to take one day. I was listening to somebody, and when he was trying to analyze the life of Abraham, it took Abraham about 48 years for him to actually enter the purpose, for him to actually get what God was saying. I don't know how true it's that. But you must understand that as we go on in these areas we are going to look at, you look at in Hebrews chapter 11, that was the hall, that's what God called the hall of fame. The hall of famers. He began to analyze people in that place. What they actually did. what happened in them. So listen, Bible characters, you must know them, you must understand them. Mama was talking about that we should, those things that when they are talking about Bible characters, we should not you should not think that those, it was fun when they were doing some things. I'm sure that's how she said it. It wasn't fun to them. It wasn't fun. And listen, these people are still going through this, through the same thing you're going. There's nothing new under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes says so. There's nothing new under the sun. And so if we must navigate the 21st century, since there is nothing new under the sun, what did these people do in tough times? What did they do when they jammed the obstacle that we are meeting today? Huh? There has always been robbers on the road when you are traveling. Scriptures. The Good Samaritan. He was attacked by robbers. The man that was traveling. There have always been robbers. There have always been war. There have always been famine. Is that not true? But at the end of the day, the men of God, the people that God has said, these are my people, must always come out triumphant. Let's look at the six parts we are going to be looking at. What is faith? What are the aspects of faith we should look at in building your foundation? Faith is first believing when I don't see it physically. Faith is first of all believing when I don't see it physically. Faith is first of all, in other words, faith is visualizing the future in the present. It is seeing in advance. It is being certain of what we do not see. Faith is seeing in advance. Listen, it was in 1960 that John F. Kennedy said, we are going to put man in, he visualized it first. But do you know what? We want to see it first before we actually believe. Even in the world system, you're talking about faith. Although they may not know the definition, you are in church that knows the definition, but they are working it out. And that's what you must understand. Somebody once said, he said, there's never been any significant achievement in human history that was not accompanied by faith. No significant achievement. There is nothing significant that has happened in this world that does not need faith. It takes great faith for you to marry a man or a woman that came from a different background, is faith. So no significant achievement. Faith is what turns your dreams into reality. Faith is what turns your dream into reality. Faith is what turns your dream into reality. Now faith is. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. In other words, there is nothing that you want to accomplish in life that must not begin with a dream. And how do you start? How do you incubate? Or how do you convert dream to reality is faith. Everything we are doing here on earth is in the spiritual realm. Even when you pray to God, God will give you spiritual answers. Oh, I need a job. Will you not just rain down shell from heaven and drop it on your laps? I need a car. He brings down BMW and hit it. If God has been raining cars from heaven, all of us would have died. As you are going, it doesn't concern you to somebody that prayed. All of a sudden, boom! Everybody, boom. I'm sure all of us will not be safe on earth. But when we pray to God, because God is spirit, he communicates with our spirit. And that's when somebody will say, I have a dream. Now, so I must first of all believe that before I actually see it. But many of us, we have turned it the other way around. I must first of all touch. I must first of all see it before I believe. No. You know, if you ask girls, why are you not married? Say that I don't see the husband. That's not how it is. I don't know. Why are you not married? Say I never see wife marry. No. The first thing is that I must first of all believe before I actually see it. When somebody asks you, where is your car? Say I don't have it yet, but it's on the way. Why? Because you know that you are carrying something on the inside, and after 9 months you will deliver. When you see a pregnant woman, you say, how's your baby? Says she's fine. As the pregnant woman sees the baby, there is a feeling on the inside when you know that God has answered your prayers. But most of the time, for you not to walk below the extraordinary, because listen, what we are talking about is not the ordinary. We are not even talking about the extraordinary. We are talking about beyond the extraordinary. For you to operate beyond the extraordinary, you must first of all, f-
first of all believe before you actually see it. As long as you know that God has called you into that place, please believe, and definitely you will see. Faith is first of all believing before I see it. Faith is first of all believing before we see. When we're talking about expanding the church, building our offices, building the children's church, and when it actually came, somebody actually came to say, he said, when you were saying those things, she told herself, now talk it, they talk. He said, how can this be? He said, how can? And when they were saying it then, somebody said, how? How? Is it not a small place? So everything must start with a dream. And you listen, do you know God is looking for incubators? God wants to do some things that the ears of them that we hear it will tingle. And he will not come and do it physically. He will look for an incubator, and that person will be you. You didn't hear what I said. I said that person will be you. God has the answer to every economic crunch, but he only needs an incubator. He only needs a host. For a virus to thrive, the virus must thrive on a host. Am I? And so God is sending that dream into you, and you will need faith to turn it around. It is believing before I see. Number two, faith is obeying when I don't understand it with my mind. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it in my mind. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, it said it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that has never happened before. That has never happened before. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says there was no man to walk the ground, so there was no rain. In other words, listen, you see, sometimes they say, that animals, they came in two animals, kangaroo. Listen. Most of the time, we just sing this song, and you think that it was easy on Noah. Imagine that rain you have not seen rain before. Okay, let's take it like that. God now tells you, say, Pastor Tony, I'm going to give you a business. You are going to start a business, and this business will be making four clothes. And you said, am I going to import it into Europe? Say no. Say, because snow will start falling in Nigeria very soon. Then you now take the idea to the bank and say, I have a feasibility study I've just done. I want to start making four clothes because animal clothes, so for winter, for snow. They now ask you, are you exporting? You say, no. Say, I have a ready-made market. He say, how? He say, God told me that snow will fall. Everybody say, you are mad. Listen, when God told Noah, there was no rain on earth before. The Bible says it was the mist that came out from the ground to water the earth. Now, you are going to tell people that, hey, let us start building a boat. Rain wants to fall. He said, how will rain come? He said, God said it will be like taking the river up and pouring it down. He said, this one don't crazy with it. How can you carry this whole mighty ocean and turn it? Now, look at it. He started building the ark. He has not seen rain before. He did not understand it with his mind. But something has told him in the spirit realm. So what did he do? He began to obey before he even can comprehend it with his mind. There are some things that God will tell you to do in 2009 that you cannot understand with your mind. That when you get into a business and you tell them that based on this thing, it negates every economic principles, every financial principle. In my line of business, this thing has not done before. But the God that I serve told me that let us do this thing. You might even lose your job. Henry Ford told the board of directors of the company that he started and said, we want to make vehicles that at least an average American can get it. They said they laughed him to scorn, and he resigned from the company he started and started another one. Because they could not, in their mind, put your hand on your head. Say, my mind don't limit me. Say, my spirit man come alive. Listen, we have been teaching you how to train your human spirit. God does not communicate with your mind. He first of all communicates with your spirit. It's your spirit that when you begin to experience it and begin to say it, it will lift your spirit into your mind. Let's look at the guy called Abraham. Abraham, it was by faith that made Abraham obey. When God called him to go out to a country, God has promised. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. When archaeological discovery discovered the city called the Ore of Chaldees, listen, it was a massive city. They had good road networks. You are telling somebody, say, leave America, take a boat, move to a land. They say, where am I going? Say, I don't know. No, you think this thing is easy. Move to a land. I say, where is the land? Say, I don't know. So I will leave America. Hey. Oh, God, talk another thing. This guy has never been out of his city before. Listen, there are some things that scripture will tell you to do. It doesn't make sense. You can't understand it with your mind. And that is faith. Listen, God has... I was talking to somebody today. I said there are ideas. It is different from what is called divine ideas. When you have your ideas, it can come from the devil, from your flesh, or the word. They will produce results for you. But when it comes to divine ideas, it cannot be replicated. You know what? Faith involves risk taking. A man of God wrote a book, said it is risky not to risk at all. Because life itself is risk. The vehicle you took to church today might have gotten an accident. So by refusing not to risk anything, you are a risk waiting to happen. Do you know that God is wiser than your parents? There are some things your parents will tell you not to do. And listen, they told you not to do it when you were growing up. Now you now see the benefit of it, or is that not true? Then you could not understand why they were telling you to do it. Now is God not wiser than your parents? And sometimes when God is telling you to do something and you're not doing it, because you don't understand it, you are a fool. It's not me that said it, the scriptures. Faith. Do you know that some of us, we have been here for 30 days. You want to have 100% guarantee that it will succeed. Say, God, give me proof now. I won't go. Listen, sometimes when you don't do some things that God tells you to do, you might be missing a major part of your life. And you know the funniest thing, if you have been able to know some things, and some people will agree with here with me, that some things that God told you to do and you refused to do it, somebody else did it, and you are now jealous. And you say, I had this idea some years ago. I had this idea 2 months ago. Faith is believing when I don't understand it. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. I don't understand why you are telling me to give to the poor when me myself I need to be given to. But it's a command. The Bible says in 1 John, the commands of God, they are not grievous, they are not burdensome. These are the commands that will take you to that will make you live the eternal life, that will make you reap the reward of a faithful servant. They are not grievous. Listen, they might be painful, but listen to me. There are some commands and things you need to obey. They might be bitter to your taste, but bitter medicine are the ones that cure faster. Faith is obeying when I don't understand. By faith, he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. Faith is just believing God. And so, since God cannot lie to me, God is not a recruit. God is not somebody that is doing experiment. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows what will take you to eternal life. So he's telling you, listen, the fact that you are sinning, you think you are offending God, you are killing yourself. Sin has nothing to do with God. It's just that sin is not good for your DNA. Can I tell you, can I give you an example? Check a man that is committing adultery. Sooner or later, he might fall from the toilet. And I'll give you an example. Because he's doing hide and seek, and he's in the bathroom taking his bath, soap everywhere, his phone now rings and his wife is in the bedroom. He will want to jump out to go and collect the phone. And all of a sudden, he might slip and his head on the floor. And that one can kill him. Why? The Bible says, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Recently, they just told me, there are some people who are not supposed to be working in a profession. I just heard that some people in a bank from Kedah upwards, I think last year, most of them have drugs in their pocket. Why? They have high blood pressure. They have transferred their faith to the profession. So anything that is threatening their profession, maybe they get a query or the suspension, their blood pressure rise. Why? They say, if they take this job from me, I will not be able to meet my demands. But listen to me, I serve a God that provides. God does not need my job to provide for me. My job is just a channel. There are different channels. What is making you get attention? Get, leave it. That has become your God. Am I talking to somebody at all? I want to break you free from believing. Listen, believing, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So why must they tell me to come to church for 30 days? He says, it's a command. I leave that thing. Even me that has come here for 30 days, me, I don't even understand it. Am I making sense? It's just like you. The servants were telling Abraham, he said, we are going to worship God. Where is the mountain? He said, I don't know. We'll soon find it. He himself that was taking them to go and worship, he didn't know the mountain. So all those ones that you are saying, follow who know road, it's not biblical. Because sometimes it takes you trusting God to navigate. Amen. Now let's look at number three. Faith is given when I don't have it. Faith is given when I don't have it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. So just open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We are there. This is the foundation of an extraordinary life. And many of you this night, you are going to read Hebrews 11 and meditate over it. Because there are some things that some of you will do in that place. The Bible says in verse 4, it was by faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Now, you must understand that it's faith that makes you to give when you don't have it. Now, God was not talking about the offering. It was the attitude. You can give by fear or you can give by faith. You can give by reason or you can give by revelation. Am I making sense here? There are two ways to give. Either by fear or by faith. When robbers will say your money or your life, it's by fear that made you to give it to them. So you gave by fear. Why? You believe more in that gun than even God. What if somebody has come to tell you that, please, don't give them the money because this gun will not shoot? See, even if your pastor appeared and said, am I not your pastor? Have I not prayed before that you did say? Now, they said they will shoot you. Don't give them. If they shoot you, it will not enter. Say, pastor, come off for road. You can give by fear or by faith. Do you know many people are giving tight by fear? Oh, I don't want the devourer to come. Not that they're not giving their tithe because they love God and they believe that God will be able to do what he says he will do. You can give by reason or revelation. What is reason? You can say, okay, I have 5,000 in the account. And they are telling us that we should give a seed. Okay, no problem. I'll give them 2,500. I still have 2,500. Even a Muslim can do that. It is impossible to please God without faith. A young man was in church this afternoon at about, was it 12 years? A pastor came to church and said, I want to pay my tithe. He has been in Benin for 5 months and he has been paying his tithe to this church. And some people were asking him, why are you paying your tithe in Fem Foundation? He said, I saw it by revelation, not today. He said it was revelation. And when he was telling me what he saw concerning Fem Foundation, I was shocked because that was what God was telling us. That's what God is telling us. Now, the amount is not even big. It's not up to what some people are paying here. But he's doing it by revelation. Revelation. By revelation. Listen, if you are giving to God and it's not by faith, you don't have faith. You know, some people just say, I don't pay God. So I know if I give God house, I know you multiply it, press down, shake it together and running over. Shall men give to my bosom? You are doing it by reason. You are doing it by calculation. And so, at the end of the year, when no man gives you press down, shaking together, what will happen? You start being frustrated. But when you know that David said, I will not give anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. When you know that when David said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, he said, please call me Prophet Nathan. I cannot be staying in this whole palace where my God is staying in tent. Before David died, he gathered the offering to build it, to build the temple. By revelation. Giving when I don't have it. I remember we stood here together that some years ago and my wife had already resigned from the bank. When the revelation came, say, give your old house rent. And the house rent was due in the next 3 months. Now, there is no salary coming anywhere. Do I have the money? No, I don't have the money because that's my house rent. 2 years ago, as we were building the office complex, The same revelation, give your only car, the car that used to cover shame, so that they will not give it. Given by faith. Faith is given when I don't have it. It's not when he, listen, when Jesus was looking at the offering basket, I'm sure some people gave more than the widow. I'm sure some people even gave it 1 million there. And he looked at this woman and said, because this woman has given her living. In other words, she gave, not thinking of how she will live tomorrow. The Bible is speaking about the widow of Zarephath. It said, go to Zarephath, for there I have commanded the woman. Revelation. For there I have commanded her to feed you. Now, the last meal that that woman had, she gave it to the man of God. She gave it for the work of God. And the cruise never ended. Nothing was finished. Listen, there are sometimes, sometimes you are praying. And God tells you to give specific thing. It was in the place of prayer that she was commanded. It was a place of requesting that she was commanded. Listen, when you want to live the extraordinary life in the marketplace, it's going to cost you something. Faith is given when I don't even have it. And how did God reward us? He rewarded us handsomely. You know, some people want to say, God, when you give me, I will give you. As if God is broke. Now, companies are talking about investing in the invisible. What is investing in invisible? The business has not started, but they have built factories. They have bought machines. It has not started. The raw materials have not started. Even sometimes they have not even gotten the license to do it. But they have done the feasibility study. Money is going on. Am I making sense? They are investing in the invisible. Why, you see, in the body of Christ, nobody wants to invest in the invisible. Why, there are some people who are already tithing for the next level they want to enter. That is investing. That's your tithe is supposed to be 10,000, but you want to move up your finances to another level. So you start paying 20,000 tithe. Somebody was telling me a story about a young man that started tithing his whole salary for a job, and he got that job, president shaking together and running over. Why? Because he has given what he did not have. How can I be giving 30% tithe? I'm investing in the invisible. I'm investing in things that not eyes has not seen. Ears has not heard. I want to contact it, because for me to please God, I must push him. By faith. It's by faith that makes, I trust this God. Though he slays me, yet will I wait for him. If you give first food by reason, anytime when they give, when food not there, I say, because I gave first food. I not blame you. But when you give your first food by revelation, that God revealed it to you. Listen. It's going to take something. When you give sacrifice by revelation, this is what we're talking about, faith. It's giving when I don't have it. 2 Corinthians, verse 8, chapter 8 and 3. Can we turn back there? The Bible says, because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could have afford. Because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. What is it trying to tell you? These are the Corinthians. This is the church in Corinth that gave more than they could afford. That gave more than they could afford. Somebody was talking to his pastor, a businessman, and a businessman for that matter that has large businesses. He told them, he said, Pastor, anytime people are going through crisis, when they are going through troubles, that's the first time you should tell them to give more, because they need God at that point in time. And listen, when God sees this thing, he tells you, it's in his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now see what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Open it. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Verse what is that? 6. In other words, he's trying to tell you, your harvest is dependent on you. Your harvest is dependent on you. He said, whosoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whosoever sows generously will reap generously. And God will generously provide all your need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. What is God trying to say here? You cannot outgive me. That's what God is trying to say. You know, I began to wonder this thing, especially when our spiritual father will always tell me about sacrifice, the key to the throne. He wrote a book about it. I was always thinking, why should this man always tell me to give? He knows my predicament. And every time he wants to go and minister, he say, come. And when he calls for a sacrifice, he say, you, Ben, join them. It didn't make sense to me. But now it's not making sense, because now understanding is experience. The Bible says, I know that the thoughts I have towards you. And this is the plan for good. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Number 4. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. In our culture, you say when it feels good, you can do it. Is that not true? If it feels good, you can do it. In Hebrews 11:27, the Bible says it was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Are you talking about invisible now? Investing in invisible. He held to his purpose like a man that could see the invisible. His purpose. He held to it. Now, most of the time, they say when you feel like doing something, you should do it. The emotion that is going through my mind now is that I hate you. So I should slap. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. For example, the Bible says I should love the person that hates me. It said I should not repay evil for evil. It says the vengeance is mine. The Bible says Penanna provoked Anna sore. There was no time Anna insulted Penanna. What is he trying to say? Is that when they revile you, you should forgive them. Now look at what this our God is so funny. The Bible is full of so many paradoxes. It said when you are praying, forgive or your heavenly Father will not forgive you. It did not say I should forgive when they tell me sorry. Have you not seen some people in church? It said until he comes to apologize, now heaven will settle up. You won't get to heaven, you will get to hell. And the person that anointed you is heaven. What is he trying to say? I don't feel like forgiving this person, but I must hold on to my purpose. I will forgive the person. And very soon, when I treat you with love, my feelings will start following my actions. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Let me say it to you. Your husband is maltreating you. And the Bible says you should submit. And you don't feel like submitting. And you keep on submitting. Keep on submitting. After a while, your feelings of hatred will change. If you keep on persisting when you don't feel like it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. You know what? Many of us want to do microwave miracle. This our Christianity is not a microwave one. God is interested in your character development and is interested in you getting stuff. God is interested in holiness because holiness will get you the things that you need. So what do I do when I'm not feeling, when I don't feel like coming to church? I come to church. Can I tell you the truth? Sometimes, Pastor, I don't feel like praying. When I carry this Bible, I sleep. How many of you know that this is the greatest sleeping medicine? But you must understand that the time you don't feel like doing something, that's when the enemy is attacking, so you should do it. The time you don't feel like doing something, that is the time that you need to do it. So when I don't feel like praying, I pray. When I don't feel like reading my Bible, I read my Bible. When I don't feel like coming to church, I'll come to church. And sooner or later, I start enjoying it. Because feelings will always follow my action. It's not the other way around. But the world system is saying it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. You are my brother, you are my sister. Don't take me by your hand. And the person that is just the one that insulted you in your last meeting. And you are taking the person's hand, and you are loving the person, and you are telling the person sweet word. Sooner or later, he head on to his purpose. What is my purpose? The five purposes of why God created me. In other words, I will bring God pleasure. I'm supposed to be in a family. I'm supposed to grow in Christ. I'm supposed to minister to other people. I'm supposed to have a mission. These are my purpose. Listen, I don't feel like going for evangelism. So how do you persist? You must keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes focused on him. Somebody say, I will keep my eyes focused on him. And listen to me. If you keep your eyes on your problem will weigh you down. Anything you focus on will get bigger. Anything you focus on will get bigger. If you focus on yourself, you are finished. You will be depressed. But when I focus on God, how do I focus on God? In prayer and in scriptures. Empowered by the Holy Ghost to do it. Sooner or later, God will be magnified and all my problems will be smallified. You didn't understand what I said? God will be magnified. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. In other words, when I meet an obstacle and the obstacle is overwhelming me, I lift up God, focus on him. He will lift me above that obstacle. Lift me above every mountain. Lift me above every circumstance. And you know what? I'll start flying high. But when I say, why me? Your father failed. You are going to fail. If you don't, you will fail. You fail, fail, fail. You know what? I will start crying. And listen to me. Tears does not work in this kingdom. When you go to the law court and you are crying, the judge will say, quick, we are going for recess. Put yourself together before you come. If you don't want, they will kick you out of the court. The Bible says, Esau sought with tears for the blessing. It didn't work. Number five, faith is thanking God before I receive it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:30, it said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Do you know what gratitude is? Gratitude is thanking God for what he did. You know what? Faith is thanking God in advance for what he will do. You know, sometimes when they say you are persisting in prayer, you are not persisting in prayer, asking and asking again. He said, if you pray, believe that you have received. Is that not what he said? Huh? So in due time, he will answer, he will give it to manifestation. In other words, I will believe that I have received it. He said, I prayed and he has given me a car. And they say, where is the car? He said, but I don't know. You have not prayed. Now, when I pray, I have received it. The next time I go to pray, I say, thank you, Father, for giving me a charge. For I know in your due time, you will give me. You know why you are frustrated? You are calculating God on how he will do it. When you pray to God, you say, God, I know that my father will give me the money. And when you now go as your father will say, you are a wasteful child. And how much did he give you? 1,000 naira. Then he now decides, faith is thanking God in advance. For 7 days, they marched round. It was in the last day that the world fell. First day they marched, they thank God. Nothing happened. Why should I thank God? My wife was talking about heartometer. If we put heartometer on people's heart today, you'll be shocked. Why? I'm thanking God for what he will do. Listen, when we are talking about experiencing beyond the extraordinary, it's the prophetic word for this year. So every time I meet an obstacle, I say, thank God. For you have said it before, that we will experience beyond the extraordinary. I don't have money in my pocket, but I thank you because my money is coming my way. Money coming to me because you have said it that you will cause prosperity to flow to me like a river. And because of this, I'm standing on this word and I'm thanking you because you will not allow your own to go hungry. I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous begging bread or their children's children being forsaken or begging bread. I've been young. I'm old now. The righteous have not been forsaken. Their children are not begging bread. If that is so, Father, my righteousness was not done by me. You made me righteous. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that you said that you provide all my needs according to your riches, not mine. Not the economy of Nigeria, not the economy of Europe. And so based on this, I'm thanking you. When you go to God and say, God, I need a baby. I need a child. I need a job. The next time you go to God, say, God, thank you for the job. Because I see that you are working it. And I know in your time, you are going to bring it to perfection. That is thanking. Faith is thanking God. When I cannot even see it too. Thanksgiving. I have not received it and I'm thanking. So faith is thanking God in advance. Gratitude is thanking God for what he has done. I'm grateful for you have done this for me. But how will it be said that you are trekking, you are thanking God that he has given you a car? Praise the Lord. The last one, faith is trusting God if I don't get it. When I mean trusting God if I don't get it, many people think that God is kalo. Listen, will you trust God? What will it be said? The doctor said we could not have a baby. And the moment that doctor said he has done his own, that about that same period, mama was pregnant. And after 3 months, the baby died in the womb. Will you backslide? No, let's look at it. You see, will you trust God when what you are believing him for, you don't get? That is what faith is. Look at what the Bible said in the Hall of Fame, in that same part, if you read it back. True. It said most of them, he commended their faith. Because you know why? Some of them did not receive what they believed God for. They didn't receive it. But God commended that faith. Oh, for 18 years, the woman that was bent over was still coming to church. Oh my good God. The right jam for 7 years. You're born again, tongue talking. As you blast tongue, even people will be healed. But your own, it's like physician, heal thyself. Faith is trusting God when I don't get it. Will you trust God? Say, this year is my year, this year is my year. And we're saying experience the extraordinary. And you say, God, this year I must marry. And nothing happens. Some people will give God time. Say, God, I'm giving you 2 years. This is the first year has passed. December 31st, we'll settle case. If I not get them, they go outside. So people have given me, if God not do them, I go help myself. I like that word. Say, God, if you not help me, I go help myself. for they will not quote their own Bible. For the Bible said, heaven will help those who help themselves. I will help myself. It's trusting God. How will you feel that day that you go to the hospital and the child you are believing God for? You know, somebody was saying, a woman has not been pregnant for some years in her own compound. And she became pregnant with twins. And 8 months she delivered and the baby died. You know what she said that struck me? Say, if you go and meet them and to sympathize with them, it will seem as if you are the one that lost baby. They will be comforting you. Ah. You know, sometimes even we, our heart as pastor, we would pound. Say, this miracle when they get, they may last too. You see, sometimes, one time God was asking me, he said, this one you are teaching people business. Are you teaching them because as they are coming from the world, they will know how to manage their business? What if it doesn't succeed? What I was trying to say is that I was trying to say, okay, let's teach them business so that they will be able to handle their finances. He said, but what if the finances get shaken? So I resorted. I said, God, no problem. I will speak your word, do what you want to do to them. Because you can get everything covered, but your business can still collapse. Faith is believing. It's trusting God when I don't even get it. It's trusting God when I don't even get it. I've not gotten it in my hand, but I still trust him. Is that one possible with you? There is no baby. A girl was married. You know, sometimes we can calculate this God. She married at the age of 24. She gave birth to her first child at the age of 48. 48. The husband and the woman were still believing God. For a year. Now 2 years though, 2 years. He never born. The man will call the wife and say, in my family, they quit born. Didn't you see my sister? First night, now I get belly. I don't know why I marry you. I'm going out. 2 years. Sometimes from 9 months. Say, I've waited for these 9 months. You have not produced. No problem. 24. Why don't you wait for your husband? If she has not waited to marry her real husband. Because sometimes, listen, the reason why I got married, let me tell you, so that you won't know. I listened to a tape by Don Oduzio, blessed memory. My wife is waiting. I'm not talking this story. I'm going.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.